City Council. With 63% of the vote, Audrey Billups Graham has beaten Cortez Dan Harris for the City Council seat. Harris received 36% of the vote. And Montgomery police have made an arrest in a 2017 homicide case. Police say 19-year-old Deshaun Hall has been charged with murder in the shooting death of 18-year-old Jonathan Jordan. That shooting happened last December on North Pass Road near the Alabama River Parkway. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How did I get into credit card debt? A trip to the emergency room.
Car repairs.
Moving expenses.
There's a million ways to get into credit card debt, but one sure way to start getting out. Avant. Avant offers access to online unsecured loans from $2,000 to $35,000 at competitive rates and no extra charges for paying back early. Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. The application takes minutes, and if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, funds are deposited as soon as the next business day. And now Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 4949 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 4949. Avant.com, code 4949.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Basements flood, security systems quit. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Last year alone, 41 million people lost power for an average of 5 days. And with severe storms becoming a common occurrence, it's only going to get worse. So how can you take back control? A Generac home standby generator protects your home against power outages every second of every day, all year long, ready to automatically supply power to your home within seconds of an outage, whether you're home or away. And because it runs on either natural gas or LP, you won't have to wait in line to buy gasoline ever. Control your power, control your life with a Generac home standby generator.
With affordable financing options available, now's the perfect time to let Mr. Electric install an automatic standby generator in your home. And remember, Mr. Electric services and repairs most backup generators. For more information, call Mr. Electric of Montgomery today.
Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Nearly 2 million people are bracing for impact from Hurricane Michael.
Storm is expected to be one of the most destructive hurricanes the region has seen in decades.
A surprise announcement from the White House. Nikki Haley resigning from her post as UN ambassador.
No, I am not running for 2020.
New Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh took the bench for the first time.
Fingers of blame are being pointed in several directions after the limousine crash that killed 20 people in upstate New York on Saturday. Relatives of the deceased driver said they believe the car was unsafe. The governor said the same. But a lawyer representing the limo company said all safety issues had been corrected.
Saudi journalist, a U.S. resident, who writes for the Washington Post, he's been critical of his home country. He was seen entering the consulate in Istanbul, and reportedly, he never came out.
A massive spike in voter registration after Taylor Swift's recent Instagram post.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame reveals this year's nominees.
Among the contenders,
Janet Jackson, LL Cool J, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, and Diva.
And that's it. The Boston Red Sox win the division series against the Yankees, headed to the American League Championship Series.
We stand on a lonely, windswept point on the northern shore of France. But 40 years ago at this moment, the air was dense with smoke and the cries of men, and the air was filled with the crack of rifle fire and the roar of cannon. Here in Normandy, the rescue began. At dawn on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944.
62 of the Rangers who scaled the cliffs there at Pointe-aux-Hope. Now back 40 years later to the scene of their heroic action.
These are the boys of Pointe-aux-Hope. These are the men who took the cliffs.
It was a very moving experience. They were what General Marshall called our secret weapon, the best damn kids in the world. Where do we find them? Where do we find such men? And the answer came almost as quickly as I'd asked the question. Where we've always found them in this country. On the farms, the shops, the stores, and the offices. They just are the product of the freest society the world has ever known.
Someday, Liz, I'll go back, said Private First Class Peter Robert Zanetta of the 37th Engineer Combat Battalion and first assault wave to hit Omaha Beach. Lisa Zanetta Hinn began her story by quoting her father, who promised that he would return to Normandy. She ended with a promise to her father, who died 8 years ago of cancer. I'm going there, Dad. And I'll see the beaches and the barricades and the monuments. I'll see the graves, and I'll put flowers there just like you wanted to do. I'll feel all the things you made me feel through your stories and your eyes. I'll never forget what you went through, Dad, nor will I let anyone else forget. And Dad, I'll always be proud. Through the words of his loving daughter, who is here with us today, a D-Day veteran has shown us the meaning of this day far better than any president can. It is enough for us to say about Private Zanetta and all the men of honor and courage who fought beside him 4 decades ago, we will always remember. We will always be proud. We will always be prepared, so we may be always free.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
76 degrees outside. Stock market is down 415 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself. The one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How are we doing today, big guy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, the weather outside. You've been in the studio since this morning. So
yeah.
You've been outside.
Yeah, I saw it coming down through the window, though.
Yeah, it's not coming down hard. It's just this kind of steady, constant rain. I was trying to get my gutters cleaned out. All of a sudden, kind of dawned on me I needed to do that since it was going to rain for, like, all day. By the way, are there any traffic conditions we need to know about, give us a call at 272-9228 so we can inform the audience. Y'all need to be very careful out there. People kind of, you know, rain and Montgomery driving just don't seem to go too well together here. So we have Michael has made landfall right at Panama City Beach, or Panama City Beach in Mexico Beach. Mm. And this is the strongest hurricane to hit the panhandle of Florida. And I think you have to go back to like 1890 or something to look at something that was equally as to this terror thing.
It is very destructive and should be taken seriously, but the media sends such mixed signals. There's a guy named Jeff Flock on Fox News right now at Panama City Beach and saying it's dangerous, evacuate. And he's literally in the middle of a road with the hurricane coming through.
Yeah.
Like, if it's so dangerous, get out of there, Jeff.
Well, I guess he's... And what's going to happen is you have fallen trees and power lines are going to be out and things like that. And
man,
we're just getting one of the feeder bands that was coming through here. That's what that rain was that was touching us. It's going over a lot of landfall by the time it gets to us, so we're not, you know, we're expecting this rain, not too big winds. But be careful out there, boys and girls. It's pretty serious. So we're going to have Dr. Sorensen calling in a little bit, and what I want to do is pull over the story that we had from yesterday to kind of set this up. We've been talking about the missing Saudi journalist who's actually a stringer for the Washington Post. And this guy went in, you see the video of him going in to the consulate, Saudi consulate in Turkey, and Senator Corker talked to the ambassador from Saudi Arabia and said, where's the video of him leaving? Mm-mm. And he said, well, we just live streamed that. Which sounds kind of suspicious to
me. Yes, very suspicious.
Also, there was a two planes that came in with a bunch of men on it from Saudi Arabia, landed and then left and went to two different places. So that's going to be interesting. They think that this was possibly a hit squad that took the guy, and the New York Times and Washington Post are kind of going with the story, saying that they had gotten some intercepts and that there was some traffic about this guy, and they're saying our intelligence had picked that up. But they are alleging that he may have been dismembered and basically carted out in little pieces, and then they got in a plane and went off to two different locations. Let's remind the audience by going to this Jan Crawford story from yesterday.
Well, the U.S. is calling for a transparent investigation of the disappearance of a Saudi journalist who'd been critical of Saudi Arabia's crown prince. President Trump expressed concern yesterday about missing Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi. The U.S.-based journalist vanished last week in Turkey. And this morning, we're learning new details about Turkey's investigation. Holly Williams is outside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, where Khashoggi was last seen.
Saudi Arabian journalist Jamal Khashoggi entered the Saudi consulate here in Istanbul, Turkey, last Tuesday, apparently to get a document he needed to marry his Turkish fiancée. His friends say they haven't heard from him since. The Turkish Foreign Ministry said today that Saudi Arabia has agreed to allow Turkish investigators to search inside the consulate building. Khashoggi's supporters protested outside the Saudi consulate today, demanding to know his whereabouts. This image is said to be taken from a CCTV camera showing Khashoggi entering the consulate on Tuesday. We can't independently verify it. Turkish officials, speaking anonymously, have told journalists they believe Khashoggi was murdered inside the Saudi consulate. But they've so far provided no evidence, and Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the U.S. has called the claim absolutely false and baseless.
Let's go to a break, and we'll come back with Dr. David Sorensen and talk about this issue and others right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
the biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Mike here from Capital City Ace Hardware. It's hard for us to believe that Capital City Ace is coming up on our second anniversary. And what are we doing to celebrate? Well, of course, we're having an anniversary sale. We'll be having many items at up to 50% off or more. On Saturday, come for a big green egg cooking demonstration and food tasting. The sale starts Friday the 12th and runs through Sunday the 14th. Capital City Ace is located at 3215 Taylor Road, Montgomery.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
272-9228, that's where we are. Let's go right to Dr. Sorensen, our Middle East expert from the Air War College at Maxwell. Dr. Sorensen, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Well, thank you for having me, Dan.
Dr. Sorensen, we've been following the story for a couple of days, and it seems the tenor of it has gotten even higher with the New York Times and Washington Post article. Do you, are the stories plausible to you that this was actually a hit squad that was carried out by the Saudi government?
I think the evidence is pretty strong in that direction. The Turks monitor everything. I know that because I've been monitored myself there. They monitored two planes coming in, bringing what appeared to be an assassination team. One of the people on the team from Saudi Arabia was an autopsy specialist, which makes one think that they not only murdered him inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, but dismembered his body. They also told, the Saudi government told the employees of the consulate to take the day off because the diplomatic conference was being held there. There was nobody besides this team that was actually inside the embassy at the time, the consulate at the time, that Khashoggi was there to get his papers to get his wedding license. So it is plausible. It seems a little bit extreme and a little bit risky for Saudi Arabia to risk the black eye that it would get from assassinating a very prominent critical journalist. But you know, the pieces are beginning to add up to the fact that he was murdered. Nobody has seen him leave the embassy. And again, the embassy is well monitored by Turkish security cameras. So I think the evidence adds up to, yes, something pretty bad happened to Jamal Khashoggi.
Let me go back to something that you said. So all the employees were told to take the day off, and then this group of alleged assassins go in, and they're acting like the embassy employees?
Well, the embassy employees were told to leave, so there was nobody at the consulate when this team arrived. Again, Saudi Arabia has the cameras all around show Khashoggi arriving, and then right before and right after this team showed up at the airport in Istanbul in two separate airplanes. One team went to the embassy. They knew when he was. They told him, you need to be there at 1:30. One team arrived there before, one team arrived there afterwards, according to the tapes, the security cameras. So it does appear that they had him all to themselves when he went into the consulate. And again, nobody has seen him come back out, which makes one suspect that he was murdered and his remains disposed of.
That is absolutely amazing. So there also is some intelligence on our part that we've intercepted some traffic about Saudis about basically meeting up with this guy, and that could have been just code for what they're doing. How does the U.S. handle this? I mean, this seems, I mean, you have a Washington Post stringer reporter. He actually resided some in the United States. How do you look the other way on something like this?
Well, the president has said he's going to speak to Saudi Arabia about this. I presume he will. It's put the United States in a difficult quandary because Turkey is very unhappy about this. Turkey and Saudi Arabia have had difficult relations anyway, and this only makes it seem worse that Khashoggi had gone to Istanbul to get his marriage papers for his marriage certificate. So it happens on Turkish soil. The hit team, if it was that, arrives and apparently carries out a possible murder in Turkey, although technically it's Saudi territory in the consulate. But nevertheless, this is embarrassing to Turkey, which offered Khashoggi a certain amount of freedom, which is unusual for journalists in Turkey. But Turkey's a NATO ally. Saudi Arabia has established a particular friendship with the Trump administration. The president went to Saudi Arabia for his first foreign trip. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has gone to Saudi Arabia and established a particular friendship with the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who some believe is responsible for the order to assassinate Khashoggi. So it's a difficult situation for the United States, and there's probably not a whole lot that the U.S. can do. I expect Saudi Arabia, with a real penchant for secrecy, is never going to acknowledge what happened. It'll remain a big question mark for a long time.
On the phone with us is Dr. David Sorensen, our Middle East expert, and we're talking about the possible assassination of a journalist in Turkey. So is the Saudi royal family, and particularly this new crown prince, is he that arrogant that because the order would have to come from him, wouldn't it?
Yes. It is impossible to believe that this was simply a rogue hit squad. Nothing happens in Saudi Arabia without the permission of the king and the crown prince. It was, in fact, probably the most powerful person in Saudi Arabia. He has he's got a checkered reputation. He is, on the one hand, called for modernity. He said women can drive, women can vote, and yet he arrested the very people who called for women to be able to drive. They're still in either house arrest or jail. He arrested a whole coterie of members of the royal family, including some of his own family, accused him of corruption. So it's a very mixed record. But Saudi Arabia's made it very, very clear that there will be no criticism of the kingdom or the royal family, and this may be the most recent case, because Jamal Khashoggi has an interesting record of both being a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, interviewed bin Laden, but has also been very critical of the royal family, been critical of Saudi Arabian policy outside the country, critical of the war on Yemen, and very critical of internal policies, including arresting people. So it may be that Prince Mohammed bin Salman decided that enough is enough, and this is an opportunity to silence him.
Well, if you so. It's silencing him, but is it also trying to send a message to other journalists? So therefore I would think that logically people would realize this would come out.
Yes. Well, he was a Saudi citizen. His family, the reason for the interesting name is not an Arab name, it's actually a Turkish name. His family came from Turkey many, many, many years ago, but he is a Saudi Arabian citizen. He was actually born in Medina. He's been in and out of the country. He went to Indiana State University. He spent a lot of time in Washington, in Istanbul, London, a very, very, very wealthy family. His cousin was Adnan Khashoggi, who was an internationally known arms dealer who also was involved in a bit of corruption. One of his distant relatives was Dodi Fayed, who was the person with Princess Diana when she died in the car accident. So it's a well-known family. It's an international family. It's a very wealthy family. And the the crown prince decided to take on such a well-known family says a lot about the span of his control over the country.
Do you think that the crown prince feels that he's got such a relationship with Trump that Trump wouldn't do anything?
That's the suspicion, and that's what the Washington Post has advanced, that in some ways the President Trump may have empowered the royal family, that he's got their back and they won't do anything. I think the reality is that it really doesn't matter who the president is. Saudi Arabia is not going to let anybody interfere in what they regard as an internal matter, even though it happened in another country. And so I suspect that even if President Trump put pressure on the royal family and said, you've got to come clean on this, you've got to tell us what happened, I doubt very much that they would. Again, this is one of the most secretive countries in the world next to North Korea. So I doubt very much that we're going to learn very much about what happened.
Is this the equivalent of their intelligence community, their CIA, and it's actually a hit squad that's within their organization?
I have not seen the identity of the people in terms of their organization. I've seen a few names. I don't recognize them as being a part of. There's several internal security systems in Saudi Arabia. The National Guard is one of them, but there are also a number of other internal security. They're mostly civilian agencies. And they report directly to the crown prince. They really don't work for the country. They work for the crown prince and the royal family, even though I guess you could argue everybody in Saudi Arabia works for the royal family because it is Saudi Arabia. But my sense is that this is probably a very small, highly secretive group that is based in Riyadh and did this on the orders of the crown prince.
We have a big arms deal that we signed with them last year. Do you see that that could be in jeopardy?
No. I think that there is so much support for that arms deal that I think it is almost bulletproof. One interesting thing about the way the Saudi Arabians buy arms is they have learned something from how Americans buy arms, and they've learned something about how Israelis buy arms. Make sure that the contracts are spread out throughout the country. So the beneficiaries of the Saudi Arabian arms deal are in Arizona, they're in Minnesota, they're in California, in just enough electoral districts so that there's plenty of political support for this. The deals that Saudi Arabia has done over the past 5 years total over $100 billion, and they're for some pretty fancy things that... again, give a lot of jobs to Americans. So I think that even if Saudi Arabia would say, yeah, we killed him, what are you going to do about it? I don't think that the arms deal would really be in jeopardy. There's just way too much political support for it.
This is absolutely amazing because it seems that the president's going to have to do something here, but I'm not sure what move he's got on a chessboard.
Yeah, I think the options are really quite limited.
Dr. Sorensen, thank you so much for talking to us today and responding on such early, quick notice here.
Always my pleasure, Dan, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. David Sorensen, a Middle East expert. We're going to be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Going, but
Whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
At Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars, it's all about buying confidence and trust. For over 50 years, they've offered a great selection of the finest and best hand-picked cars in the area. These cars have passed a rigid multi-point inspection and are backed by proof pricing and the Jack Ingram Signature Car Stamp of Approval. What is proof pricing? That's Jack Ingram's best price, simple and clear, with true price comparisons from third-party leaders. And when it comes to saving you money, there's nothing better than seeing the proof. Choose from the largest selection of Nissan, Volkswagen, Volvo, Audi, and Porsche certified vehicles in our area, or shop hundreds of other pre-owned mates starting as low as $7,000. And if it doesn't fit in your garage or your spouse doesn't like it, you have 3 days to return it for a full refund. Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars has hundreds of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to fit your needs. And if by some small chance they don't have it, they will find it for you and deliver it to your driveway. Confidence and trust is a Jack Ingram Signature Used Car guarantee.
Come see me, Tip Thames, at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars on Eastern Boulevard, or shop online at jackingram.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The water's already rising and the wind is howling from Hurricane Michael, about 50 miles now from the Florida Panhandle. Wind gusts near the center of the storm, 150 miles an hour.
Landfall somewhere early this afternoon around Mexico Beach.
And National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham says hurricane force winds extend 45 miles out from the storm center and could be felt through parts of Alabama and Georgia as the storm moves through. It's the first ever Category 4 storm to hit the Florida Panhandle. The head of the FBI says the Bureau just did what it was told in its investigation of sexual misconduct claims against now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Director Christopher Wray told the Senate Homeland Security Committee the supplemental background investigation into Justice Kavanaugh was specific and limited in scope at the direction of the White House.
My folks have assured me that the usual process was followed.
Some Democrats have called the investigation a sham.
That's Rachel Sutherland, and this is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, right now offering top pay of 45.5 cents per mile and quarterly and annual safe driving bonuses. Apply today at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We continue to monitor powerful Hurricane Michael, and it's certainly going to have effects in Alabama, more effects depending on where you live. Rain and tropical squalls will continue from time to time today, this evening, and tonight. Winds increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour and gusty up to about 30 miles per hour in gusts. Today's high 81, tonight's low 73. And, of course, the farther southeast you go, you get into a tropical storm warning across most of South Alabama and a hurricane warning over extreme southeast Alabama. Tomorrow, the chance of showers is early in the day, then cloudy and less windy, then becoming partly cloudy by afternoon with a high around 81. The overnight low temperature tomorrow night will be in the low to mid 50s. Then Friday and Saturday, beautiful sunshine, highs in the 70s, lows in the 50s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
To Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief.
272-9228, that's where we are.
There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
I want to thank Dr. David Sorensen, our Middle East expert, for calling in. Joey, I tell you, Dr. Sorensen's a wealth of knowledge. There is a lot of information in there I had not heard on any reports today.
When the idea of this team devoted to the Crown Prince, the idea that they go in and they dismember this guy, that the rest of the employees at the consulate have the day off, how well organized it is, and bold, if in fact this is what happened.
Well, it's like, did they not think somebody was going to find out?
It might be that it's kind of like Russia and the Little Green Men. It's like, of course people are going to find out.
And so they want you to find out.
Exactly.
And it's to get a message out.
Exactly.
But then if you get the message out and you are going in and whacking somebody like that, the world's not going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, that's okay. And as I said, from the first time I heard this story, the fact that he was a journalist, the journalists are going to stay on this thing like crazy.
I just don't think the Saudis care. They think, we've got it made. We've got these arms deals. We still got the backing of the U.S. on the larger issues we care about. We're making friends with the Israelis on the larger issues we're caring about in the region. And Turkey's going to be upset, but...
Who cares?
Who cares? Don't criticize me, says the Crown Prince.
This is absolutely amazing to me, and I don't see... This could put a lot of political pressure on Trump something, because the Washington Post is not going to let go of this thing. I mean, he's a Washington Post stringer.
Well, and there's always been part of me, it's like you're making a deal with the devil when it comes to the Saudi Arabians, the Saudi government in particular. Like, you want on the one hand to believe they're modernizing, and then something like this happens, and you're reminded, oh, it's the same damn Middle East. And this is how it's operated for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I mean, this is just stunning to me. And like I said, I was kind of surprised that, you know, whenever we have a hurricane or something like that, that's the dominant story here. But this is just absolutely amazing to me that they would do this. Let's listen to the second part of this story.
In an interview with the Washington Post, Jamal Khashoggi's fiancé said he was worried that something might happen if he entered the Saudi consulate. Fears for his safety had already seen Jamal Khashoggi go into self-imposed exile in the U.S. last year.
What worrying me the most is one man rule.
He was an outspoken critic of Saudi Arabia's powerful crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman.
He felt he needed to leave Saudi Arabia, where he was specifically ordered to refrain from making any statements on politics of Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia's crown prince has launched a series of social reforms in the ultra-conservative Islamic kingdom, including finally allowing women to drive. In an interview with Nora O'Donnell for 60 Minutes, he criticized hardline interpretations of Islam.
Are women equal to men?
Absolutely. We are all human beings, and there's no difference.
But at the same time, the Saudi authorities have cracked down on all forms of dissent, locking up critics and rights campaigners.
The United Nations Human Rights Office said today that if the reports of Jamal Khashoggi's death are true, it is, quote, truly shocking.
Well, this one isn't going to go away. And I can tell you, you know, how they got that Trump is okay with Putin killing people and killing members of the press is just going to intensify because there's a Washington Post stringer.
And I wonder how Turkey reacts to this. Do we start seeing, you know, a little tit for tat going back and forth with special operations? Especially in theaters like Syria.
Well, I'm sure, particularly when it leaked out that the intelligence community had an intercept on here, I think they're going to keep a real close eye on them now.
I just feel like half the time, even if you go to like your best sources, we're not getting the full story of what's happening in the Middle East. And it's not some big conspiracy. It's there's too many players and too much is happening so quickly and done in a secretive way. It's not official actions by nations. It's a lot of these special operations. And there's a lot of jockeying for position.
Kind of scary.
Yes.
Put Trump in a bad situation, I can tell you that. Joe Scarborough did something that was kind of unusual, talking about the Kavanaugh allegations here. Let's listen into this.
Well, and by the way, Mike Barnicle, allegations against the Supreme Court nominee that 5-10 years ago, most likely, would not have made print. Unsubstantiated allegations on one side. And then on the other side, and I'm talking about the stories that followed Dr. Brown's story, which would have been much stronger if it would have been much stronger if Dr. Ford's story would have stood alone instead of unsubstantiated claims that followed, a stream of them. But also on the other side, Mike, let me ask you, what New York Times reporter, what Washington Post reporter was assigned a story by their editors to go see what really happened with Dianne Feinstein and Feinstein and her staff the sort of questions that would have happened if the Republican Party had done the same thing. Not one. And I challenged New York Times reporters this morning, not reporters, editors. I challenge Washington Post editors. I challenge Wall Street Journal editors. I challenge editors across America. Write that story. What happened with Dr. Ford's agreement? With a congresswoman, with Dianne Feinstein. Why did they leak that story? And more importantly, look at yourself and ask yourself the question, why didn't we report on this in real time when you sure as hell would have reported on it if Grassley and his office had done the same thing?
And he's absolutely right. I don't agree with Joe Scarborough very often, but he did call him out. And that was a good thing to do. Can you pull that clip I just sent you up?
Yes, you take 1 second here.
You take your time. But Joe Scarborough was spot on with the thing.
Yeah, and it's sometimes he'll throw people a bone. He realizes I can't be such a homer for the Democrats. And the Democrats do look bad here. If it was Dianne Feinstein herself or someone in her office, what they did and how they handled it was thinking political first instead of actually following the facts of the case. They're looking to score points. And it does a disservice to the larger cultural moment we're having with sexual assault and awareness. Because instead of really treating this, if she is a victim, and she seemed credible to me, Blasey Ford, with kind of due respect and confidentiality, it made her a pawn in this big political game.
Well, and it did a disservice to her. I mean, that was totally avoidable what she went through and said how painful it was and everything to be doing that in front of the public. And that was totally avoidable. Totally avoidable.
There's actually a House of Cards episode, I can't remember which season, where Claire, the vice President Underwood's wife, I think UN person at the time, is trying to get somebody to come and speak to Congress who's a victim of sexual assault, and she, at the last second, says, no, I'm not going in front of the committee. And, like, Claire threatens her and tries to twist her arm. And it's weird how, out of these fictional stories that are a little exaggerated, you still see these real-life things, how people get chewed up in this system where they have, you know, real feelings, real stories, these are real people, and yet we're still playing politics at the end of the day.
Can we pick up this clip I just sent you, Senator Paul? Now, we're going to do a little stop and go here. He's going to start out being asked about the Saudi, the journalist that was allegedly murdered and dismembered in a Saudi consulate.
Brand new video just released of what Turkish media are calling an assassination squad. The 15-member group believed to be linked to the murder of U.S. journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
The clip comes from inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, where he was last seen more than a week ago.
Our next guest says he'll now force a vote in the Senate this week blocking U.S. arms sales to Saudi Arabia. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and joins us now. If they're killing our journalist, I think it's only right. The president's got great relations with the Saudis. Should he be more aggressive?
Well, yeah, I've been calling for some time because for over probably a couple of years now, we've been supporting the Saudi efforts bombing in Yemen. Over 10,000 civilians have died. But now that the Saudis appear to be involved with the killing of a journalist, I think we shouldn't be selling them weapons. We shouldn't be aiding and abetting what they're doing in Yemen. And a signal needs to be sent. I mean, if we send signals to other countries that misbehave, certainly we should send signals to an ally that this is unacceptable.
Sure. One of the people on our team who sends signals to other nations is the U.S. UN ambassador. Nikki Haley announced yesterday she's resigning. Just curious, your reaction to that news, because her, she says it's time for me to go. People are speculating why there might be some other reason behind it. Nonetheless, she's done a pretty good job for the administration, hasn't she?
You know, I think what we need to think about is who the president should pick, and I think the president should pick somebody who agrees with the president's vision that the Iraq war was a mistake, that the Afghan war is coming to a close, that there is no military solution in Afghanistan. So I really want somebody to come forward that the president will pick that actually agrees with the president's vision for foreign policy.
Who is that?
That's a good question. But I think that many of the people surrounding him give him the advice that we must stay forever in Afghanistan. They're now saying we must stay forever in Syria. They're saying we must stay forever in Africa, that we must stay forever in Yemen. I'm of the opinion we need to have a strong national defense. We need to balance our budget, but we don't need to be in everybody's civil war. I think the president agrees with me.
Well, the only problem is when we leave Iraq, in comes ISIS. If we leave Afghanistan, out comes Al-Qaeda, and then buildings start falling here. So you got to be responsible.
Well, the other half of that, Brian, though, is we went into Afghanistan, we toppled the regime in, we went into Iraq, toppled the regime there, and guess what? It made Iran stronger. So really, we tipped the balance of power in favor of Iran when we went into Iraq. So we have to think of the unintended consequences of always intervening in everyone's civil war.
Well, we don't always intervene in everyone's civil war.
Well, we're involved in about 7 civil wars right now, and particularly the Yemen civil war.
We just can't give Iran people. And Russia the Middle
there's 17,
East.
There's 17 million people in Yemen living on the edge of starvation. They had the largest cholera outbreak
in
modern
history. Maybe Iran should stop aiding the Houthi rebels.
Well, this is because the Saudis are blockading Yemen. We are aiding and abetting them. In the last couple of weeks, the Saudis bombed a school bus with 50 children. We should not be arming the Saudis. And my bill today will stop sending arms to the Saudis.
That was a mistake.
Saudis.
And what about, should we give Yemen to Iran? Would that be...
Brian, I mean, this guy, you know, one thing, Rand Paul is a very intelligent guy.
Yes.
Brian Kemmy just, I mean, the guy just talks. I mean, maybe it ought to take a little time to learn something from someone like Senator Rand Paul.
Well, and Brian has bumper sticker logic all through his brain.
It's amazing.
God.
Amazing. Okay, the tip for the day from Mr. Electric here. Use light bulbs that match the recommended wattage on the lamp or fixtures that you have. You don't want to go in to be spending more money than you have to. I tell you what, turning off those electronics that are in your house... And I tell you, I'm now finding myself doing a lot more than I used to. I used to let the one sit in my living room and just let it run all the time. Now I don't. So I'm expecting to see a drop in my power bill just because of that. The kitchen one, that one's easy. The one in the living room where I've got two computers on it, two television screens on it, I can do that one. And so when I do it, I'm only using it for, you know, like 3-4 hours instead of 24 hours. That should make a big difference. So Mr. Electric wants to save you money. And also, you're going to watch this hurricane and the damage that happens. Check out their generators. Mr. Electric, telephone number, you need to have it right there in your phone in case the lights go out, which mine flickered this morning, by the way. 334-269-8886. 269-8886. Mr. Electric. We're going to be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Quiet, roomy, and downright plush. Sounds like a 5-star hotel, right? Well, close. Except this one has 4 wheels under it. It's the all-new, fully redesigned 2019 Ram 1500 of Brubaker, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. From luxury truck to work truck. The Ram 1500 delivers a smooth ride without sacrificing towing or hauling capability. It's lighter, stronger, and fine-tuned for improved ride comfort, off-road capability, and load leveling. These are creature features you can't get from a hotel. Trucks have no business being this nice in sight, but don't be fooled by the sedan-like ride. The new 2019 Ram 1500 can tow up to 12,750 pounds or shoulder as much as 2,300 pounds of payload. Come experience the difference of the all-new, redesigned 2019 Ram 1500 at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We're in Prattville, Montgomery, and always online at Brubaker.com. Better vehicles, better service, and better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Yeah, Brian Kimmy, he gets on my nerves. He is so out of his element when he's doing this stuff. I mean, a little bit of knowledge can be a very dangerous thing.
Well, and it reminds me, there is a real conflict in the Republican Party between your more libertarian leaning and what I would describe as sort of your John McCain, Lindsey Graham wing. And then Trump's kind of a weird, he sort of squares that circle, if you will. He plays in both camps, which is probably why he got elected.
Well, and not jumping in war every time you can. And there's a book that an author has out that talks about the wars that have been going on that presidents have started since 1807. And he was fascinating to listen to today. I may try to get him on the show. I mean, he went through everything. So that was, he was interesting. So let's continue on with Rand Paul, and he's going to hit some other subjects here.
Better? No, I think we should understand that the world's a little more complicated than that, Brian, that there's civil war there with many different factions in Yemen, and this isn't Iran, the U.S., and Saudi Arabia. Right. There are many different factions in Yemen. They will continue
to fight. You're oversimplifying, Senator.
Well, no. What? The Sunnis and the Shia have been at war with each other for 1,000 years. They will be at war with each other in another 1,000 years. It doesn't mean we always have to intercede.
Okay. Senator, let's bring it home. We want to talk to you about a topic that we've been chit-chatting about for the last few hours. You have Maxine Waters, who's saying get in people's faces. You have Hillary Clinton that's saying if you want civility, then you're going to have to wait till the Democrats are in power. You have a big fear about this rhetoric and how it's going to affect. Your fear is that someone's going to get killed eventually, right?
Yeah, someone almost did. I was there at the ball field when Stephen Scalise almost died from a very, very angry, violent man who was incited, really, by rhetoric on the left. And this hasn't been reported enough. When he came onto the field with a semi-automatic weapon, firing probably close to 200 shots at us, shooting 5 people and almost killing Steve Scalise, he was yelling, "This is for health care." He also had a list of conservative legislators, Republicans, in his pocket that he was willing to kill. Mm-hmm. So what happens when Democrats, say, get up in their face, they need to realize that there are a lot of unstable people out there. There are people with anger issues. There are people that are prone to violence. They might even live next door to you. You don't know where these people are. But what we shouldn't do is incite people to violence. And so we've asked Cory Booker to retract those words. We've asked the Democrats in general to try to ratchet it down and say, look, we want peaceful dialogue.
What'd he say? Is he going to retract?
We've heard indirectly from him that he didn't intend to incite violence. And I take him at his word on that. I don't think his intention is to call people to be violent. But getting up in someone's face really kind of does sound like you want them to get you know, nose to nose with them. And the problem is rational people might back down. But what's going to happen when the guy comes with a gun to a rally or comes with a knife to a rally? There is going to be an assassination if this doesn't ratchet down. And I think the other side needs to really calm the rhetoric down.
It's interesting. The Tennessean ran a story that said his wife sleeps with a loaded weapon.
Yeah, she penned a whole op-ed, Rand Paul's wife. And she essentially said, we're very worried about this. Like, we have heightened security because Rand Paul was at that baseball field, because he was attacked by his neighbor. It's not just some paranoia. It's like been some close calls. And in that op-ed, she wrote, some people have made light of it. She gave it multiple instances where people on cable news, mostly from the left, and kind of just the folks going for clickbait, they were laughing and downplaying Rand Paul's injuries when he got attacked by the neighbor. She said, hope you never have to watch your spouse or loved one deal with broken ribs, hurt every time they breathe, and bouts of pneumonia that could, you know, lead to death. And you're making a joke out of it?
Well, interesting part is that Mitch McConnell is calling these people mobs that are there. And when you look at it in the Senate building, you look at it, the Hart building, for example, and you've been there, mm-hmm. you know, that atrium, yeah. and it's very loud. You get a bunch of people that are screaming and yelling and that kind of stuff. That does feel like a mob. I'm not sure what classifies as a mob is in a dictionary as large crowd, but I'm not sure where you get, you know, where does it become large. But the media is going, no, don't use the mob word. type deal. No, I mean, that's not called for. But then you go back to 2010 and the Tea Party.
Hmm.
They were calling the Tea Party mobs.
Right.
Which every Tea Party event that I ever went to or saw witness on TV was the first. It was a large crowd, but it wasn't a mob in the sense that people were yelling and screaming at other people.
Well, and there are obviously excesses on the so-called right, but we haven't seen too much of that. We saw the stupid tiki torch thing, where the, you know, the sort of alt-right national white nationalist crap. And you've got the history of your, and it doesn't fit into Democrat, Republican, because it was Democrat at the time, like the KKK in the South. And you, so we know what the excesses on the right are, but the excesses on the left, like what's going on in Portland right now, where Antifa's trying to shut down roads and the mayor won't do anything about it. It's a particular style of agitation that you don't often see in conservative circles. It's not everybody on the left, but it is a unique feature of the left.
With the Antifa group, you know, you get what you deserve in Portland. I mean, that was crazy, the video. And I would have played, they didn't do a story on it, they just had kind of the video of it, and which wouldn't have made sense on radio, but I'm surprised that there's not more coverage or something like that.
Well, and what's amazing is most people, whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent, most people don't agree with what these people do. It's a small group of folks who just go nuts. Now, I will say the politicians in power do stoke it. And there are activist groups and funding mechanisms that like these sort of shock troops that do this stuff. But most people watching their television at home are like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, particularly the Berkeley riots that were there. I mean, that's just that was basically they were trying to anarchy. They were just trying to create this mass hysteria that's there. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Moore Show on a Wednesday. A reminder, first-time callers need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. That drawing will be today, by the way. I'll be swimming over to Fresh Market to pick up the card. And they have got the Porterhouse Steak Premium on sale for this one. So we've always enjoyed that, haven't we, Joey?
I love a steak that I can pick up and bite off the bone.
I know. That bone does really make it good. And then any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. That's a $60 gift basket. What is it made up of? Well, the things that you choose there at Sweet Creek Farm Market. Go by and see them. Great time. If you're looking for a pumpkin or harvest decorations, you need to go down there. I think they're going to get more hay in. That seems to be a very popular thing. People put bales of hay and a pumpkin on top of it in their yard and everything. Mine would look kind of dumb in my house. News on 93.1. Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back after our top of the hour break.
Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.